by receiving your blessing, the person next to you will be blessed. Amen? It's an overflow blessing. And so, I don't want to continue necessarily preaching that, but I feel like the word that I feel God has placed with us this morning is also a continuation of making sure that we are aware of the various different things so that when He does call us to move into a certain area or to adapt in a certain way, we have the ability to do that. Amen? You all right? Are you sure? Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to pray again and then I'll dive in, because we're going to go Old Testament this morning. Amen? We're going to go old school. We're going to go all the way to Genesis. Amen? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You that You've got a God-ordained and specific word for each and every person that is sitting in under the sound of my voice, that You have brought each and every person back into this house or into this house for a reason. And I just pray that each and every person's heart is ready to receive the word that You have in store for us this morning. I pray that as we speak, that Your message for Your people will come out and will come through. So we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen, 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 amen. It's been a while since I've been up on the pulpit. Obviously, it's been January, it's been February, it's been December, and so that's mean we've had a bit of a break. And as you can see, I'm dressed a little bit differently this morning. I'm not wearing my usual suit that I usually do, which I actually am technically under this. But this morning when I went outside of the house, it was cold, and so I threw my hoodie on. So it's a little bit more casual. But just know that the formal attire that I love to wear is on underneath. Amen. But God is good. This morning we're going to read from the book of Genesis. So we're going to specifically focus on the story of Jacob. And we're specifically going to focus on a specific point in Jacob's life. Amen? Yeah? I didn't want to, I'm not going to read through all of Jacob's life, because otherwise we'll be here forever, because it's like, I think the story of Jacob starts in Genesis chapter 25 and ends in 32. It's almost 10 chapters of the Bible that focuses on Jacob's life. But there's just one specific moment in his life or part of his life that I want to focus on here this morning. And just to give you a bit of backstory about who Jacob is, and I would encourage you to go home and read it for yourselves, because it's a really, really awesome story. Jacob is like many of us. He's not a perfect soul. Amen? He's actually a little bit of a rascal. Do people still use the word rascal? No? I don't know what's the... I was going to use another word, but I thought that may not be good. But he's a little bit of a trickster. He's a little bit of a conniver. And just to give you a sense of what he did, his father was close to dying. And then his father was go and find your brother. I want to bless him. And so what he did is he pretended to be his brother and then went in, tricked his father to steal his brother's blessing. That was the kind of person that Jacob was, right? He didn't always necessarily do things wrong, but the best way that I could describe it, he wasn't always ethical in what he did. Yeah? So he set out the rules, didn't break the rules, but some of us would have been nah, that's not right. Yeah? Even in the story, just before the story that we're going to read now, he goes out and God tells him to go and find a wife in this particular place, and he goes, and then he goes with nothing, and he actually comes out with quite a lot. He's quite blessed. But the way he does his blessing, he's quite opportunistic. Yeah? He specifically, I don't want to say tricks, but he makes a deal with his father-in-law, and he specifically breeds the cattle, because he's in charge of breeding the cattle, so that he gets the benefit. And his father-in-law gets the worst of the flock. So he was quite an opportunistic individual. And maybe not everything was ethical. Do we have some of those people in the house this morning? Yeah. You don't have to put your hand up. But, he wasn't always as ethical as what most people would consider a believer to be. But who knows, God doesn't always use ethical people. God uses anyone who loves Him. Amen? Amen? We sometimes think we need to have everything right and have everything perfect and have all our ducks in a row before God's going to do something. But that's not how God works. And if you want any evidence of that, just read the Bible anywhere. Open the book anywhere and start reading, and you'll find stories of how God uses imperfect people because He loves them. Amen? And that's the same for us, because I know I'm an imperfect person and I do a lot of things that I probably should not have done, or probably not have listened the way I should have. But in this story, there are three things. While Jacob is with his father, and obviously he's exceeding and he's doing really, really well. He's doing really well because, like I said before, he came in with nothing, and now he's got almost twice as much or even more, even equal as his father-in-law. And at this point, he starts noticing some rumors and murmurs going around the camp around how successful he is. And God speaks to him, and God says, I think it's time that you move on. Yeah? I think it's time that you go somewhere else. And this brings me to the first thing. And I'll just read this scripture from Genesis chapter 20, Genesis 30 verse 3. This is what God said to him. The Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And I thought this was quite significant because God doesn't tell him go forward. God tells him to go back. Now, you might be thinking, oh, what's that about? Because sometimes the successful road that God wants us to walk on does not look like the successful road that we have in our heads. Because I would imagine that Jacob would have thought that God's going to take him somewhere else. Where's the next step that I'm going to go? Where's the next place that I want to be? Yeah? And to top that off, he was doing well. Sometimes when you were doing well, God's going to call you to change things up. And that calling may not be what we think it is going to be. Because God should have said, go to Canaan. Go to Egypt. Because Egypt was a very prosperous land at the time. So it makes sense if you want to prosper, you've got to go where there is prosperity. But God says, no, I want you to go back. And it got me thinking, what... Because over the past few weeks, we've been talking about what's your goals for 2024? What are you hoping God's going to achieve in your life for the season that you are in? Yeah? And the question that I want to pose to you is, does the goal that you have set up align with the direction that God is calling you to? Because it's not about where you go. It's about where God is wanting you to be. Because we don't know where the blessing is. Can I say that? If you do know where the blessing is, just put your hand up and we can have a chat after church. We can't see where the blessing is. God knows where the blessing is. And so God gives us instruction to direct us to a place in our life or a situation where we can receive that blessing and that anointing. So when God says move from the one place to the other place, it's because God knows in the other place there's the blessing. That's where he needs to you to be. Amen? And the problem is, when we've done so well, it can be hard to leave what is prosperous to go back. Over the weekend, it was, I don't know if you know, Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, and they've got a different calendar. And I've got a lot of Asian friends, and so we celebrated Lunar New Year, a lot of interesting foods. And one of my friends said, oh, you know, on Facebook, there's all these little things that remind you of where you've been. Like 20 years ago, you were here. 10 years ago, you were here. 5 years ago, you were here. And he said to me, I was looking at Facebook and something came up. And it said, 5 years ago, you were here. And he said, I feel like I haven't gone anywhere because I'm now back where I was 5 years ago. And I looked at him and said, but aren't you better off now? And he said, yes, but all my other friends are different places. And I said to him, yeah, but last month you were just telling me how all your other friends are struggling. And you're not. Because he was saying they all went and did their own thing, took out investments and did some good stuff that seemed good at the time. But who knows, now we're in a financial living crisis. What's it called? Yeah? It's a bit difficult for people right now. And he was like, I went back. But he said, I feel much better than many of them. Because I don't have the stress that many of them are dealing with. You see, we don't always know and understand what God is doing or how God intends to do it. What we do know is that God gives us instructions of where we need to be. And if God says, in this place you will be blessed, then you can be rest assured that even if you were going back, there's a blessing in that place for you. Amen? We mustn't let our idea of prosperity and success prevent us from receiving the miracle and the blessing that God has in store for each and every one of us. Because between this point in his life and the home that Jacob gets to when he gets back there, a lot happens. In fact, on this journey, Jacob becomes Israel. That's another story. But I want to encourage us that don't let our idea of what we think success is going to be in 2024 stop you from walking into God's plans and purpose for your success for this season. Amen? It's an interesting journey because there's a few things that happen on this journey that Jacob is walking. As soon as he sets off, as soon as he starts walking, his father starts pursuing him. And you can read it in your Bible. It's there. I'm not making anything up today. Not today. But as soon as he starts moving, the enemy starts pursuing. Not that his father was an enemy, but I just want us to understand that sometimes when we move in the direction that God wants us to move, other people start getting uneasy. And there's a reason why. Laban pursued Jacob because Laban knew that while Jacob was with him, Laban was blessed. Amen? And the Bible tells us that. Laban said to Jacob, I know I'm blessed because of you. There are people that will know what you have, that will try and hold on to you for their benefit, not for yours. This doesn't mean that we leave people behind, because Laban was always going to be his father-in-law. Yeah, but we have to be real with the things that hold us back from going forward. Because they can be good things. Amen? And I don't want us to not receive what is coming in 2024 because we didn't want to let go of certain things that were holding us back. Yeah? Laban pursued Jacob. Because Laban knew if he lets Jacob go, he's letting his blessing go. Amen? But despite the pursuit, Jacob knew that he needed to be where God called him to be. So he didn't turn around. He didn't stop. I mean, he stopped, but he didn't go back, but he allowed God to deal with the situation. So he stopped there and he approached him and he said, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Let's sort this out now. And then we can go our separate ways. Amen? To live, now that was just one thing that happened when he was on his journey to where God had called him to be. Yeah? So first he's like, I'm going, packed up his things and left. When his father-in-law, who he was working for, realized, pursued him, tried to get him to come back. Eventually God sorted that out and he stayed on his right path. But then he realized, wait a minute, I'm going home. And there's some unfinished, undealt with business that I need to do when I'm going home. Sometimes when God calls us to go somewhere, there's things that we need to deal with first in our life. Think of it as unfinished business. Sometimes it's going to call us to humble ourselves. Sometimes it's going to call us to humble ourselves. Somebody needs to humble themselves. What is ringing in my head? Humble ourselves. But for those of you that don't know the story, I mentioned earlier that Jacob robbed his brother of his blessings. And his brother was so angry that his brother said, I'm going to kill him. Yeah, we've all made someone angry enough that they'll be like, if I find this person. And he got so scared that his mom told him, look, you need to go. You need to run somewhere. And that's why he left home. Also to find a wife, but that's another story. But he left home because he was afraid of what his brother might do to him. And now God's calling him to go back home. And now he's like, oh my goodness, my brother is still home. What have you got in your past that you have not yet had the courage to address? Because eventually you're going to need to address those issues. Amen? What fear, what unforgiveness, what situation do you have lingering that you've kind of put on the shelf and said, not today, Lord, I'm not ready for that. Amen? Am I speaking to someone? What situation have you thought, I don't know if I'm ready for that just yet? Because that situation is what's stopping you from getting to where God needs you to be. And it may be you need to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. It may mean you need to say sorry for something that you did. It may need that you did nothing. Maybe somebody else did something. Amen? But in order for Jacob to truly receive his inheritance, he had to deal with this issue that he left behind. You see, we can't run away from the issues of our past. It's either going to catch up to us or God's going to call you to face it. And you don't want it to catch up to you. You want to stand up and face it. Amen? And so my question to you is, what in your past exists that is stopping you from walking into what God has? I'm going to read you from chapter 30, verse 2. And it says this, Jacob sent messages ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He introduced them. This is what you are to say to them. Blah, 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 blah. He says, tell my brother this, I have stayed with Esau for so long, I have cattle and donkeys and sheep and goats and male female servants, now I'm sending this message to my lord that I might find favor in your eyes. When the messenger returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau and now he is coming to meet you with 400 men with him. And in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, the flocks and the herds and the camels as well. Can I say this? If what you ran from is causing you to fear, if you are afraid of approaching or dealing with those situations that you have left behind, that's okay. It was quiet there for a second. I want you to know that it's okay to be afraid of things in your life and in your walk. There's a reason it's there, because it is scary. You would not have left if it was not. You would not have held on to that unforgiveness for so long if it was not easy. Amen? What is not all right is for that fear to stop you from going and moving forward. Amen. Jacob was halfway on his journey and he sent out people, and the message that he got back scared him. I want to tell you something. If you are afraid, that's a good place to be. People don't say that anymore. People don't like to say fear is a good thing or a good place. It's not nice, but it's not good or bad. Right? Are you right? Fear is not good or bad. But fear should not stop us from our inheritance. And it doesn't have to be fear. You can put whatever adjective you want in there. Yeah? Maybe you owe someone money because they borrowed your money and then you left. It can be fear. It can be humbling yourself. It can be grace. I don't know, whatever. It's not good or bad. Yeah? But if we are not careful, it can stop us from receiving what God wants for us. And we don't want that, amen? But there is an answer to how Jacob deals with this. And it tells us that he divides up his flock so that if his brother does come and attack, he can save half of it. Yeah? And I find this quite interesting because this is his first response. He hears from his brother. He's petrified. He's scared. He divides up his animals, his everything, so that he doesn't have to lose it all. And then we read, so that's his first response. And sometimes we will get a fearful response. It's okay. Yeah? But later down the line, we see him respond in a different way. Take a look at this. This is just further down in that same chapter, verse 13. It goes, he spends the night here, and from what he... He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 females, camels with young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servant, each herd by itself, and he sent this to his servants, and he said, go ahead of me, keep some space between the herds. And he created three groups of these massive flocks and cattle. And he used this to go for, because he thought, okay, if I give all this stuff to my brother, maybe he won't kill me. Always a good strategy. But do you see how his mindset has shifted? From, I need to protect my flock, so I'm going to divide them, to, wait a minute, maybe I'm going to bless my brother with this, or maybe I'm going to give these gifts to him, and so I'm going to do this a different way. I'm going to split them into four, three groups, and I'll lead them on. Jacob is in this story, and he has come from a place where he has been prosperous. And now he's sitting in the middle before we reach his next destination, and he's giving up what God has blessed him with. Our blessings are not necessarily for us to ward. God doesn't bless us just so that we can have an immense, huge field of sheep and goats and cattle. He didn't bless him either so that he could give it away in the way that he was doing it. But what God has done is God has prepared him in the previous season for the next season. And to me, I thought this was quite significant. Because God doesn't tell him how to deal with the situation. God doesn't say, I want you to divide your cattle up and to do this and to do that. God just says, go. It's up to him to decide how he wants to do this and how he wants to deal with this. And the reason why I say this is because so many of us are waiting for God to give us some instruction on where to go and what to do and how to do it. And God's like, you've got everything you need. This was a message for me because I was looking at buying something in the week and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to buy? And everybody just keeps telling me the same thing. Just buy what you want. And I'm like, Lord, no, I need to know, Lord. I need to know, Lord. God's like, what do you want? You know, but sometimes we over-spiritualize the situations that we need to make in our life. We don't need to pray 100 prayers and get onto our knees and do, you know, 10 Hail Marys or whatever it is that we need to do. Sometimes God just wants us to get on with it. If Jacob did not, if Jacob went to God and said, Lord, what do I do? How do I get out of the situation? He'd probably still be camping in the middle between Canaan and Laban. Yeah? But God blessed him with all this wealth. And he used that for his advantage. But sometimes you have to give a little. Amen? Sometimes you have to realize, God has blessed me with this. I don't need a miracle to get out of this because I'm already blessed. Yeah, but Lord, I want to see the dead rise. So I'm going to stand here or whatever the miracle is. Right? We've got the resources that God has already blessed us with to help us through certain situations. I think of this as a, you know, Pastor Jay spoke last year and he says that this is going to be a year of momentum. And sometimes when momentum comes and goes, if you think of a pendulum, it goes up and then it comes down. And when it goes up, there's less momentum. The momentum comes when things are going down. Yeah? It's the same if you've ever been on a roller coaster. I don't know if a roller coaster kind of works the same, but it kind of goes up. And then when it reaches the top, the momentum kicks in and it's just like, ah! Sometimes we have to go up that slow section a little bit to get to the top, to come down and receive all that blessing. All that momentum to take it all through. Sometimes giving up what God has given us or blessed us with, and I don't like using the word giving up, but sometimes, let me put it this way, sometimes using what God has blessed us with is using what God has blessed us with. Because we are not yet, we're not called to store up riches on earth. Amen? And so for some of us, there are things that we've got in our life that we are holding on to that God actually wants us to use. That's important for getting to where we want to be. And there could be plenty of reasons why we hold on to it. Maybe you worked hard. I'm sure you did. Amen? Maybe it wasn't easy. Maybe it was a bit of a struggle to receive that blessing that we did over there. Maybe we worked hard. Maybe we've come from a good place. And it doesn't look that good, yeah. But know that where we are going to is just as blessed as where God has taken us from. You see, Jacob moved from that place. He was blessed in that place. But God had a bigger purpose for him on the other side. Because on the other side came Bethel. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Sometimes we have to use what God has given us to get to where God wants us to be. Amen? And I feel like, you know, Pastor Jay said, we don't want to do the same things that we did last year. You know? And we've said this many times, you don't receive a harvest unless you're willing to sow. And if you sow 10 seed, you're going to get a 10, you're going to harvest tenfold. But that was last year. When you receive a tenfold blessing, you don't have tenfold seed. You all right? Because one flower doesn't produce one seed. And so we can either store up the harvest, or we can go and sow a 20-fold seed. Amen? Last year was good, but this year is better. But it's only going to be better if we're willing to dig down and sow seed. And yes, last year's harvest was tough. Yes, we got twice as much seed, but we worked hard for that. Amen? That's okay. But just know we're not doing the same as last year. God's called us to sow a bigger seed because he's given us more. Amen? Jacob stood there. He divided up all his flock. He divided up all his land. He sent them to his brother little by little by little by little by little. And when he got to his brother, the scriptures tells us that his brother ran to him with his 400 men. That must have freaked him out. But when he saw his brother and all the men ran to him, embraced him, hugged him, and then said, "Why did you send me all this stuff? I am just as blessed as what you are. I don't need this stuff." I thought that was interesting because sometimes the journey that we have or the view that we have gives us a distorted reality of what is actually happening. We don't want to forgive someone because we are still holding on to some things that is hurting us, and we think that that person is not going to receive it, or we think that that person doesn't deserve it. But it's not about that person, it's about us. And yes, that can be a scary situation to be in. But we just got to trust that where God wants us to be is better than where he is calling us from. Jacob leaves. I'm going to start closing off and jump to the end of the story. But Jacob goes through this quite a short area of his life. It's quite a small moment. God calls him to leave. He leaves. He gets pursued. He gets scared. He gives out his flock. And whatever. The Bible tells us that he was so, I don't know if it was overjoyed by his reaction from his brother, but he insisted that his brother take the harvest. And then he went to the land that God called him, and he settled there, and he was blessed. So blessed that we know the inheritance that came through it. We are descendants of Jacob today, each and every one of us, through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But any one of these situations that he encountered could have derailed him from getting to where he needed to be. Yeah? 2024 is a significant year. Not just because I'm saying so, because it is. Amen? But we can't keep doing the same things that we did last year. Yeah? We can't keep not addressing those issues that needs to be addressed. At some point in time, we have to forgive that person that needs forgiveness. In some point of time, we have to humble ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe I haven't done this the best way that I can. I'm sorry. Because the journey that God wants us to be, where he wants us to be, is going to be worth it. It's just hard to compute that when you are so afraid. Yeah? We need to be willing to overcome the obstacles that is in front of our journey in order to receive what God wants us to receive. These obstacles come because it's better for us not to reach God's destiny for somebody else. Does that make sense? When I say somebody else, I mean the enemy doesn't want us to reach what God wants us to be. He would be perfectly happy if we stopped in the middle of the journey, too afraid to move. They'd be perfectly happy for us to go back to Laban's tent and start working there for him. But this community and our families and our loved ones and us as individuals need to be strong enough to understand that where God is calling us to is more blessed than where God is taking us from. Amen. God blessed Jacob, and Jacob used that provision to overcome some of the things in his journey. You are blessed with provision as well. There are situations in your walk with God where he has prepared you for the things that he has in store for you. Does that make sense? I was reading Genesis, and there's a story in Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning part of Genesis. It's about Cain and Abel, and it's about when sin first enters into the world. And we all know the story about eating the fruit. And Cain and Abel eats the fruit. Adam and Eve eats the fruit. Adam and Eve eat the fruit. And Genesis 3 tells us that there was repercussions beyond that. But regardless of those repercussions, the Bible tells us this. It says that the Lord God made for the man and his wife garments of skin which he clothed them with. See, it doesn't matter who we are or where we go. God has made provision for us. If you read just a little back, they made clothes for themselves out of fig leaves. And God was like, nah, that's not good enough. I'm going to do something else for you. And he himself covered them with garments of skin. They didn't make the garments. The Bible tells us that the Lord God made for them garments of skin, which he clothed them with. We are talking about the moment in the history of the world. And the way that I look at this, this is not just any significant moment. This is the manifestation of the need for Christ to die. Are you all right? Because this is when sin first entered into the world. This was the manifestation moment for when Christ would need to come and give his life for the salvation of mankind. And God still takes these two individuals and clothes them. That is the love of the Father. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how much fear or situations you have in your life. God's unfailing love will cover you. We call it divine providence. In every situation that you walk, he is there. Jacob could send those sheep ahead of him because he was blessed. God provided, and so are you. God does not call us places and then just lets us flounder. He prepares us to be successful in the areas that he calls us to be. The question is, do we trust that? Or do we take off the garments and put back on our figs? Amen. 2024 is a great year. 2023 was a good year. Amen. It was a blessed year. We've got our building that is almost done, paid for. We did not have to go into debt. Amen. It was a blessed year. We did so much for the community, more than what we did before. It's like it gets better and better and better. That was 2023. What does 2024 hold? I don't know. I wish I did. Lord, what does 2024 have in store? I don't know what 2024 has in store. But what I do know, it's a blessed year. It's going to be better than where we were. Amen? There's provision that he has made for us that's going to take us further. Not necessarily for us, for this community, for this school, for this house. There's a blessing that's in store for Wainui Amata, and it is because God has called us to be more than what we were last year. And that may mean we need to make strategic choices, like Jacob has done. That strategic choices may not seem like, it may not, you know, match up with giving. How am I going to be prosperous if God's telling me to give all this away? It doesn't matter. As long as we are remain in the blessings of our Heavenly Father, God will provide. He will do what He needs to do. Amen. My encouragement to you, family, is we can't keep these two things that I want to encourage you with. This is a awesome year that is ahead of us. Amen. To receive what God wants is going to take us to be not bold, not different, willing. Willing to, number one, give up what we think God has given us. If God says, I want you to do something, we need to be willing to do it. Amen? What does it look like? I don't know. Maybe he's saying, give that person, pay. We always use the pay for someone's groceries example. Yeah? Maybe we should do something else. Maybe we should say, buy someone a car. Yeah? Amen? Are you willing to be obedient to the voice of God, even when that does not match up with our idea of what we think success is? Number two, is it time to deal with stuff in the past that you have not wanted to deal with? Because this, and Pastor Jay preached this a couple of years ago, this year can be the same as last year if you're going to look at those situations and say, oh, I'll deal with it next year. Yeah? No more dealing with it next year. Let's deal with it now. Are we willing? And then the last thing, are we willing to go back and not forward? I say that because it's not about backwards and forwards. It's about wherever God needs you to be. And where God wants you to be may not look like where you think you need to be. Amen? This entire message is about understanding that in order for us to have true breakthrough in 2024, our idea of what that needs to be in line with God's idea of where He wants us to be. That's it. Amen? I talk about going backwards. I'm not saying regress, because Jacob didn't regress. He was obedient to God when God said, I need you to go somewhere. And he went somewhere. It just didn't look like what I envision going forward looks like. Yeah? Are we willing to do what God asks us to do, even if what God asks us to do does not look like what we think success needs to be look like? That's a thought for all of us. Because I don't know what skeletons you've got in your closet. Amen? I don't know what things in the past you haven't yet dealt with that God would like you to deal with. And I want to say this. It's not everything. You don't have to dig up your A to Z from wherever you want to be or wherever you did however many years ago. You don't have to do that. You just have to deal with what God wants you to deal with. Amen? Just what God has asked. God said, go home. His brother was at home, so we need to deal with some stuff. Amen? We're not saying go through and relook at your entire history. I mean, yeah, if you felt that that's what God was saying, by all means, go ahead. But we need to make sure that what God is asking us to do, we are willing to do, even if that does not look like what we think we want God or we need God to be. Because like I said, when I read this, I thought, you know, let's go to Egypt. Egypt was a successful place. They do go there later. What is God asking you to do in 2024 that does not look like what you think it should be? Oh, I don't think this is where I need to be. I don't think this is what I need to do. I don't think this person needs my forgiveness just yet. Amen? But if God is saying, I need you to be here, what is our response? Amen? Let's have every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you are such an awesome and willing God and that you cover us with provision. That just like Adam and Eve in the garden, you covered them. You did not require them to do anything, but your unfailing love covered them. I pray, Lord, that as we enter into 2024, that this is a significant year for each and every one of us. There are some decisions that need to be made. There's some callings that you have placed on our hearts that's going to take each and every one of us further to where God wants us to be. And they may not all look and feel like the idea that we have in our heads. But I pray regardless that you will be clear to us with where you want us to be. And in that clarity, you will give us the strength to be obedient to the situations in our life that you want us to deal with and address. 2024 is a significant year, and we are so looking forward to reaping the benefits of what that year has in store for each and every one of us. But we pray, Father, that you give us the strength this year to make the decisions that we need to do that were different from last year. To take the moments in our lives that we have not yet dealt with and bring them into alignment with your word and your calling. And we just pray, Lord, that through all of this year, that the wisdom of our Heavenly Father will guide us in those difficult moments so that we know how to respond so that we may receive the inheritance and the blessings of our Heavenly Father. So we pray this in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Everyone says, Amen.
Give Pastor Darren a hand. Is everyone all right? Grab some gems. We can finish service, or I can just lean into what God wants to do right now. I seen two pictures when Pastor Darren was speaking, and I want us just to be honest where we are.